grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, the fourth chapter of the first letter of St. John, the 20th and the 21st verses. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother also. Whenever we come together for worship on the Lord's Day, we are conscious of the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as St. Paul writes in his letter to the church at Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that last and great day, as long as we are alive in this world, we remain citizens of the country in which we live. And today, this 19th day of June, happens to be a significant date in the history of our country. For it was on June the 19th, 1865, just 2 months after the surrender of the Confederate Army at Appomattox, that the Union General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and informed African Americans living in that city that they were no longer slaves, but free. That was 157 years ago. But we as a nation continue to suffer from the effects of that shameful history, which, among other things, contradicts our faith as Christians. In the epistle for this Lord's Day, St. John, the beloved disciple who has been called the apostle of love, writes, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother also. Every human being exists because God has called that person out of nothingness into being. Every human being exists because God wills it. Every human being is loved by God. Every human being is made in the image of God. And anything which disparages or degrades or harms another human being in body, mind, or spirit is not only a sin against that person, it is also a sin against that person's maker. Last Sunday, on the festival of the Holy Trinity, We remember that God himself is mysteriously a communion of persons in love, and that because human beings are made in the image of the triune God, we as human beings are called by our Maker to live in mutual love. All of us are rightly shocked and appalled by the random violence that takes the lives of innocent human beings. But truth compels us to admit that this kind of violence is but a shocking manifestation, revealing, unveiling of the hatred, the indifference that so easily finds its place in all our hearts. And so we are called to repentance by the Word of God, which, as we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. No wonder we pray, as we just did in Luther's wonderful hymn to the Holy Spirit, O sweetest love, your grace on us bestow. Set our hearts with sacred fire aglow, that with hearts united we love each other, every stranger, sister, and brother, every stranger, sister, and brother, Lord, have mercy. And what is the gospel for this day but a clarion call to repentance? It's, of course, one of the most familiar of our Lord's parables, painting as it does such a vivid picture of the rich man and poor Lazarus, what life was like for them in this world and in the next. The name Lazarus is the only proper name that appears in Jesus' parables, the only proper name. And the name Lazarus means God is my helper. And what that name tells us is that despite his terrible poverty, Lazarus had the true riches because he trusted in God. And so, in the hour of death, the holy angels come and carry him to paradise. And what of the rich man? Jesus says only this: the rich man died and was buried. His sin was nothing that he did. His sin was what he didn't do. He quite simply ignored the poor beggar at his door while he himself lived in luxury and excess. one of the greatest preachers the church has seen, St. John Chrysostom, had this to say. Even when the rich man was alive, his merciless soul was already buried. Buried by couches, rugs, furnishings, sweet oils, perfumes, large quantities of food, and by flatterers. St. Luke tells us that our Lord told this parable to the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, and who, as Jesus said on another occasion, devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. In telling this parable, our Lord, in his love also for them, is calling them to repentance, just as the beloved disciple John does in the epistle read on this Sunday, when he says, "The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And on this Lord's Day, we too are being called to repentance and are being shown the consequences of hardening our hearts to that call. Yes, because of our sins in thought and word and deed, each one of us must become a Lazarus, meaning one who trusts God and his mercy. How great God's mercy! How great God's love! For us, for you, for me, God's eternal Son himself became, like Lazarus, one cast out and covered with terrible wounds at his scourging, nailed to the cross, exposed to the hateful gaze of his self-satisfied enemies. Suffering all this, that's so you and I might not be cast out forever, but might with poor Lazarus come to the paradise of God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.